Let's open our Bibles to the book of Joshua. And we gave an introduction to this study last week. And tonight we're going to actually read chapters 1 through 5. So keep your Bible open, and we'll read through it, and I'll make comments as we go. But I think that will be the clearest way of communicating all of this for us this evening. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, Joshua's commission, and we looked at some of this last time, but let's be reminded as we read through it. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you. So that gives us something of an identification of the land. Just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. So we see in verse 8 the power of the word. In verse 9, the presence of the Lord. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So the promise of the land, the power of the word, and the presence of the Lord. Then beginning in verse 10 and going through the end of chapter 2, we see preparations for the Jordan River crossing. In chapter 1, verses 10 through 18, we see Joshua assigning tribal responsibilities. Chapter 1, verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers, The officers are the leaders of the various tribes. The officers of the people saying, "Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, 'Prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan.'" Just a note on the statement, "for within 3 days." That is within 3 days from when they will actually arrive at the Jordan River. So they're not there yet, and you'll see what I mean as we keep reading tonight, because if you don't get what I just said, you'll wonder what it's talking about later. So within 3 days from when they arrived at the Jordan River, you are to cross this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. To the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh, so these three tribes, Joshua said, "Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, 'The Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land.'" And that is from Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. Verse 14, "Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But you shall cross before your brothers in battle array, all your valiant warriors, and shall help them." So the three tribes, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, will be going first, and they will be in battle array, leading and helping the others. Verse 15, "Until the Lord gives your brothers rest." That is all of the rest of the tribes, all of the people. "As he gives you, and they also possess the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to your own land and possess that which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise." So that indicates those three tribes are going to be helping all of the other tribes until all of those tribes are settled in their allotted territory. We'll get to that later in the book of Joshua. And then those three tribes will return to their land. Verse 16, "They answered Joshua, saying, 'All that you have commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your commands and does not obey your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous.'" So those three tribes respond saying, "We will do, Joshua, what you are telling us to do. And if any of the rest don't obey your words, we'll kill them." So that's a very strong responsibility that they take. Chapter 2 is then the account of the two spies that are sent into the land, into Jericho, and their encounter with Rahab. You probably know this chapter relatively well, but let's move through it as quickly as we can. Then Joshua the son of Nun sent two men as spies secretly from Shittim, which is where they were encamped at the moment. Shittim would be east of the Jordan River, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came into the house of a harlot, whose name was Rahab, and lodged there. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land." And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from," which was not an entirely true statement. It came about when it was time to shut the gate at dark that the men went out. "I do not know where the men went," which is definitely not a true statement. "Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Now, just a brief comment here. There have actually been shelves full of books written on Rahab's ethics at this point. Namely, was it right and appropriate for Rahab to lie? Which she did. But she was doing it in order to protect the two spies. And those coming from categories of situational ethics are the ones who have written the books related to this. And also hierarchical ethics that say, you know, if you can do something wrong, like lie, but in doing it you're accomplishing something better or higher, like saving these two men, then it's not wrong or sinful. So just a comment on that, because Hebrews chapter 11 verse 31 does indicate to us that Rahab acted by faith in this. The Bible does not commend Rahab for lying. when Rahab lied, that was wrong. That was a sin. Now, you can sit here all night and discuss, well, what should she have said? But this is what she did, and it was a lie. She was violating the law of God that said not to bear false witness. So that is true. But nonetheless, she was exercising faith in the true God. And in exercising faith, the Lord gave grace in this situation, even though the way she went about it was wrong. So I do not follow a situational or a hierarchical ethic. I would be called, I guess, an absolutist in this, that the lying was the wrong thing to do. Nonetheless, God honored her. She says, pursue them, for you will overtake them. She had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Verse 7, so the men pursued them on the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord, and that is very important. She says, I know that Yahweh, the Lord, has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. So they had heard of the Exodus before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. That's Numbers chapter 21. You can read that. When we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. So you see Rahab's understanding and faith of Yahweh as the one true God. Verse 12, now therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you also will deal kindly with my father's household and give me a pledge of truth. Spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters with all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. So the men said to her, our life for yours, if you do not tell this business of ours. And it shall come about when the Lord gives us the land that we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on a city wall, so that she was living on the wall. She said to them, go to the hill country, so that the pursuers will not happen upon you, and hide yourselves there for 3 days until the pursuers return. Then afterward you may go on your way. The men said to her, "We shall be free from this oath to you which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down, and gather to yourself into the house your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household." So they're saying, we won't be able to spare you, your family, and your house unless you give us a marker of where your house is, and that marker will be this scarlet thread. Verse 19, "It shall come about that anyone who goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be free. Anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be free from the oath which you have made us swear." She said, "According to your words, so be it." So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and came to the hill country and remained there for 3 days until the pursuers returned. Now the pursuers had sought them all along the road but had not found them. Then the two men returned and came down from the hill country and crossed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and they related to him all that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, "Surely the Lord has given all the land into our hands. Moreover, all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before us." So these two came back with a report that said, yes, God is going before us into the land and will give it to us. And I would think that Joshua would be remembering the time that he and Caleb had been sent as spies into the land along with others. And by this point, Joshua and Caleb are the only ones who are remaining alive, who came out of Egypt. All of the rest died in the wilderness. Well, then who are all these Israelites that are going to cross the river? They are the children of those who died in the wilderness. Chapter 3, we then see the crossing of the Jordan River. Verses 1 through 4, there is organization for the crossing. This is how it's to take place. Chapter 3, verse 1, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and he and all the sons of Israel set out from Shittim and came to the Jordan, and they lodged there before they crossed. It came about at the end of 3 days that the officers went through the midst of the camp. Now, can you see why I said back in chapter 1, those 3 days had to be from the time they arrived at where they would cross the Jordan, because there had been some other length of time, more than 3 days, where the spies were in Jericho checking it out. So this now is the 3 days that were spoken of in chapter 1. And they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, with the Levitical priests carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it." So the people are supposed to do what? Follow the Ark of the Covenant. "However, there shall be between you and it a distance of about 2,000 cubits by measure." 2,000 cubits would be approximately 3,000 feet, or a little bit over half a mile. So there's a little over half a mile between the ark and then the people that follow. The rest of verse 4, "Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you go, for you have not passed this way before." Then Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourselves." So verses 5 through 13 is the consecration. They are setting themselves apart, devoting themselves to obeying the Lord in this crossing. "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." This Jordan River crossing is a wonderful, miraculous thing that will remind them of the Red Sea crossing that their parents had experienced. Verse 6, "Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over ahead of the people.' So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of the people. Now the Lord said to Joshua, 'This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of Israel.'" So Joshua is being exalted here as the leader. "That they may know that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. You shall moreover command the priests who are carrying the ark, saying, 'When you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan.' Then Joshua said to the sons of Israel, 'Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God.' Joshua said, 'By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will assuredly dispossess from before you the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, and the Jebusite. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over ahead of you into the Jordan. Now then, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man for each tribe. It shall come about when the soles of the feet of the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, and the waters which are flowing down from above, and from above does not mean heaven, it means from the mountains, so this is upstream, we might say, from where they are. Those waters shall stand in one heap. So it came about when the people set out from their tents to cross the Jordan with the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And when those who carried the ark came into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests carrying the ark were dipping in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks in the days of all the days of harvest, that the waters which were flowing down from above stood and rose up in one heap a great distance away at Adam. And Adam is a city named after Adam. And Jewish teachers insist that Adam founded it, that it was where Adam ended up living after he was expelled from the garden. So, Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, and those which were flowing down toward the sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. So the people crossed opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel crossed on dry ground until all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan. So we see the Jordan River crossing. Chapter 4. The Lord provides a commemoration or a memorial for this crossing. It came about when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, "Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, 'Take up for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priests' feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight.'" So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, "Cross again to the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan." So these had crossed. Now they have to come back to where the priests still are with the Ark of the Covenant. And each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, 'What do these stones mean to you?' then you shall say to them, 'Because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, so these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever.' Thus the sons of Israel did as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, just as the Lord spoke to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. And they carried them over with them to the lodging place and put them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at the place where the feet of the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and they are there to this day. I'll notice the statement, they are there to this day. That was this day as of the writing of the book of Joshua. If you go there now, you won't see them standing there. But do remember that the Lord said at the end of verse 7 that this will be a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. So I don't know where those stones are tonight. I don't know which stones they are. But here's something I know. God has those stones marked, and forever, for eternity, those stones will be a memorial. So will you see those stones in the new heavens and the new earth? You will. They will be a memorial of this forever. So you can't prove that archaeologically, because we don't know which stones they are. But we do know that they were still there by the time of the writing of the book of Joshua. For the priests who carried the ark, verse 10, were standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything was completed that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people hurried and crossed. Came about when all the people had finished crossing that the ark of the Lord and the priest crossed before the people. So the priests remained in the middle until everyone else had finished crossing. The sons of Reuben, the sons of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over in battle array. That's what Joshua had commanded them back in chapter 1. They crossed over in battle array before the sons of Israel, just as Moses had spoken to them. About 40,000 equipped for war. So 40,000 warriors from just three tribes are leading this procession. They cross for battle before the Lord to the desert plains of Jericho. Verse 14, on that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, so that they revered him just as they had revered Moses all the days of his life. Now the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests who carry the ark of the testimony that they come up from the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests, saying, come up from the Jordan. Came about when the priests who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come up from the middle of the Jordan, and the soles of the feet of the priest's feet were lifted up to the dry ground. In other words, they were lifted. We might say they were levitated a bit. They were lifted and came to the dry ground. That the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and over all its banks as before. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th of the first month and camped at Gilgal on the edge, eastern edge of Jericho. Now, if you can remember our studies in the life of Christ, the 10th of the month of Nisan, the 10th of the month of Nisan is the day that the Passover lamb is to be selected and chosen. In other words, they arrived on the other side of the Jordan River on the same day that the Passover lamb was to be chosen. Verse 20, those 12 stones which they had taken from Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. He said to the sons of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall inform your children, saying, Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God has done to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God. Okay. This miraculous Jordan River crossing is an evidence, verse 24, to whom? Everybody on earth. All the peoples of the earth have a witness that Yahweh is the one true God. Chapter 5, and many have found chapter 5 to be odd. It is the account of circumcision after the crossing. Chapter 5, verse 1. Came about when all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard how the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan before the sons of Israel until they had crossed, that their hearts melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the sons of Israel. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make for yourself flint knives and circumcise again the sons of Israel the second time. Now, second time, that doesn't mean the same people got circumcised twice. It means that there was a circumcision, and remember, Moses did this of their parents of the previous generation in the wilderness. And now this is going to be a second circumcision event. Verse 3, so Joshua made himself flint knives and circumcised the sons of Israel at Gibeath Haraloth. This is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. Didn't you want to know that? All the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war, died in the wilderness along the way after they came out of Egypt. For all the people who came out were circumcised. But all the people who were born in the wilderness along the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the sons of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, that is the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished because they did not listen to the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord had sworn that he would not let them see the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Their children, whom he raised up in their place, Joshua circumcised. For they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them along the way. Now it came about when they had finished circumcising all the nation that they remained in their places in the camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the sons of Israel camped at Gilgal, they observed the Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the month. So, you see, it was Passover time on the desert plains of Jericho. On that day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day after they had eaten. They had had 40 years worth of manna. This generation, that's all they had known was manna. But on the day after they ate, and the day after, no more manna from heaven. The 40 years is over. The manna ceased on the day after they had eaten some of the produce of the land, so that the sons of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate some of the yield of the land of Canaan during that year. And then verses 13 through 15, we have this amazing picture to Joshua of the captain, the commander of the Lord's army. And this explains not only how the miracle of the Jordan River crossing occurred, but how the victories that are to come will occur as well. Verse 13, it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So Joshua wants to know of this man, whose side are you on? Verse 14, he said, "No, rather, I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord." Now, the host of the Lord, that's angels. I'm captain of the angels that are Yahweh's angels. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, "What has my Lord to say to his servant?" Joshua recognizes that this is the Lord. Now, he doesn't quite get it yet of this being Yahweh himself. And probably that's because he doesn't really understand how all of this works. He certainly understands this is at least someone who is higher than angels. The captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, "Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. This was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus, the captain of the Lord's hosts. Joshua was seeing Jesus. He was seeing Israel's Messiah. How did the water of the Jordan River get stopped so that Israel could cross on dry land? The Lord did it miraculously, and he used angels to do it. The captain of the Lord's host did it. Now, when you read the commentaries on Joshua, you'll see some say, well, it might have been an earthquake or a fault that was upstream from this and, you know, dammed up the water temporarily or something. You see all kinds of explanations, but the true explanation is a miraculous one. The Lord did it. He used angels to do it. And this is the captain of the Lord's host that is going to go before Joshua into Jericho and all of the victories that follow. And Joshua did so. He showed honor to this captain. We could even say it was worship. So I did these five chapters all together because I wanted you to see the miraculous thing that happened there. The crossing of the Jordan River was for this generation that entered the land. It was as important to them as the crossing of the Red Sea had been. When they crossed the Red Sea, they went into the wilderness. When they crossed the Jordan, they came out of the wilderness into the promised land. And so you see how God always keeps the promises of His Word down to historical detail in amazing ways. And that this was at Passover time would have reminded them of the Passover that got them out of Egypt in the first place. So there are powerful spiritual lessons in this, lessons about trusting the Lord your God. Heavenly Father, as we go to prayer tonight, we thank you that in the history of Israel, there are things that have happened as examples for us. And Lord, may we believe you, trust you, as Joshua did, and as those people did at that moment in time. May we trust you tonight as we bring our requests before you in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.